Well, good morning, everybody. I am very, very happy to report that there is no snowfall anywhere within Northeast Ohio. There is snow in the forecast, but it's not for here. It's for the elevations above 9,000 feet in Switzerland, so we're all safe. Wow, what a crazy spring this has been. Last week, I mentioned that I was hopeful to get the invitation cards in for the upcoming series, Jump to the Future, and they're in. I'll have a bunch up here. Grab a handful. There's a map in the back. All it says in the front is June 2016, and in fact, here's the card. That's what it looks like. That is not Photoshop. That's actually me in a DeLorean. One of the dates, the story goes, one of the dates in the Back to the Future series was, some of you are familiar, October, November 2015. So they brought the DeLorean in and rolled it into the studio for that date for the 5 o'clock show. And so naturally everybody wanted to take pictures of themselves inside the DeLorean, myself included. Little did I know that I would have a use for that picture for a series. So that's the story behind this photo. It is not Photoshopped, but it just has this information so that way when you give it to somebody, you can explain to them what the series is all about. And it is not a series about Revelation. But, that would make sense, Jump to the Future. But it's actually a look at some of the biblical characters that had a choice to make. They could either live in the past or look toward the future, having to leave the past totally, completely behind if they wanted to follow where God was leading them to. And the Bible is full of stories like that. So we'll be examining that, and it's going to be especially helpful for maybe somebody out there who really is having a tough time letting go of the past. As you all know, that there are people out there that just can't let go of the past. They have to cling to it, hang on to it, whether it's a label that somebody put on them, whether it's a label they put on themselves. They just can't get past it. Well, this series is going to help them to set everybody's focus to the future, even us. We have a tendency sometimes to have a rear view mirror, which is a little too large. And it's time to put that mirror in perspective and stay focused at the front windshield of life. And so that's what the series is all about. It's going to be a three-part series, not a four-part series. It was going to be a four-part series. But all of a sudden, the vacation schedules came out, and I'm working on June 19th, Sunday morning. So you're going to have Mark Hazelbush preaching that Sunday. And I believe he's going to be preaching on a chapter in the book of Daniel, which sounds really good. So I'll make it a three-part series for June, except for June 19th. Well, let's all go before the Lord in prayer before we head into today's message. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We praise you with everything that we have, that you love us so much, that you just went to extraordinary measures to do so much for us, to send your Son, to die on a cross for us, to redeem us, to rescue us, to give us your word through the Holy Spirit, and through divine protection, protecting that word so that we can have it in our hands today. And we thank you for all of what you went through for us. We love you, we praise you, and now we ask for your Holy Spirit to come in to quicken our hearts, minds, eyes. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear. Give us hearts that are open to receive that which you have prepared for us on this beautiful Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, who doesn't like it when your boss praises you? Everybody loves it when your boss praises you, right? Maybe your annual review, you get a good report. I mean, you're really relishing it. You enjoy that. How about when you're a kid and maybe you can even remember drawing something for your mom and dad, and that went up on the refrigerator, or maybe the bulletin board. I've got two examples. Here's something Noah made for me a long, long time ago. It is still hanging above my desk at work. And obviously, he was a young man there, a young boy. And we went to Washington, D.C. in 2000. I want to say it's 2008. We went camping for our father-son retreat in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. And he wanted to go to Washington, D.C. for a day. So we did. And he got all dressed up, as you can see. That was his choice. He says, we're going to Washington, D.C. I got to wear a suit and tie, just in case we run into the president or somebody important. And so he took I took that picture of him with the Capitol, and he made a calendar for me. And that calendar, it's 2016. I don't care that it's 2008. I love that picture. I praised him for it because he put so much effort into it. And he loved the praise of seeing his work on my wall, and I just won't take that down for anything. So who doesn't like praises, especially when praises are due? It's especially meaningful when it's something that truly deserves praise. Okay, let's back up in time. A couple hundred years? No, more than that. 1,000 years? 2,000 years? No, more than that. 5,000 years? No, more than that. Let's go back before time existed. And let's go to Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. And Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. God had you in his mind before he even created the universe. That blows my mind. God knew that he would create me, for instance, at the perfect time in the history of the globe. Why? Because he gave me a passion for meteorology. I look back at my passion for weather, and I look back at the history of meteorology and where it is. God could not have placed me in a more phenomenally exciting time in terms of meteorology. The advances are amazing. The advances from when I was a kid to now, the last 10 years have been amazing. There have been more changes, accelerating. This is an exciting time for my secular profession. And so God could not have chosen a better time for me to be born. Not only that, he put me in New Bedford, Massachusetts, southern New England, one of the kingpin cities for nor'easters. I love nor'easters. That's what got me jazzed. Well, you know, I'm 57 years old, celebrating 57 years on the globe today. And so with every passing year, snow becomes less and less important. Thank you. Thank you very much. That's not why I mentioned it, but thank you very much. But, you know, nowadays, like the snow last week, I could have done without. And this was a great winter, and I'm enjoying less snow with age. So I'm not anxious to go back to southern New England to experience nor'easters again. I've had my fill of them. But God knew what he was doing. When I look at that history, that gives me cause to praise. But it goes deeper than that. You see, when I was sitting in these pews with Dr. Kevin O'Connor back in the 1990s here, God stirred my heart. And with the encouragement of Dr. O'Connor, he encouraged me to look at getting a more formal education in the things of God. And at first, I don't know. I'm kind of busy with my career and things. But he continued to encourage me in such a way that I thought, all right, you know what, I think maybe. And after praying, I thought, yeah, I think I'd, even just for self-edification, for my own knowledge, I think I'll do this. And then one day, I was asked to fill in here. And I said, no, thanks. You know, that's quite all right. Speaking to a camera is one thing, but speaking to live people and handling the Word of God, that's scary. And it should be. No, thanks. And they said, oh, it's too late. It's already in the bulletin. So, okay. And I will remember that day forever. I was nervous, more nervous than any time I've ever seen a television camera, even for the first time in my life, because I was looking at live people and I was handling the Word of God. But it was that day, about 10 or 15 minutes in, that it struck me that God did not give me a career in meteorology and a passion for meteorology as an end to itself or as a means to earn a living. He did that. He was strategically placing me in a place so that I would influence people for him and bring people into his kingdom. That, I mean, I wanted to jump out of my skin that day realizing what he was doing. That was worthy of praise. The kind of praise where I just wanted to give myself and abandon myself and just raise my hands and thank him. So I can't help to praise God for things like that. Well, today we're going to look at some of the highlights of the last five Psalms of the book of Psalms. They are frequently referred to as the praise Psalms or the Hallelujah Psalms. And the reason for that is simple. The Hallelujah, praise the Lord, is mentioned a lot in these last five books. So let's talk about Hallelujah. Hallelujah is actually a word. It's a Hebrew word formed from two Hebrew roots, hallel, which means to praise or boast. Not just to praise or boast, but to praise or boast with absolute abandon. Who here has ever had a moment in time where you had so much joy that you just absolutely forgot what you were doing and you just gave into it? You gave into the joy. You gave into the praise. That's the kind of praise that hallel means. It's not just praise God. No, I mean, you're just giving yourself to it when you suddenly realize how much God loves you, what he's doing through you, or the joy that he's given you. You're just giving yourself over to it. And Yah, from the J-A-H, it comes from the shortened form of God's proper name, the unspeakable name of God, Yahweh. So we put Hallel and Yah together, it comes up with Hallelujah, how we say it in English. Hallelujah means praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, God's proper name, the great I am. Well, praise the Lord, or hallelujah, shows up 363 times in the Bible. So, obviously, it's an important word. But let's break it down a little bit, because I'm going to put this into perspective before we start digging into the actual Psalms. All right, let me show you a graph of the number of times it shows up in the entire Bible. And now it doesn't show up in every single book, but it shows up in most of it. And it starts here at Genesis, and all goes down to Revelation. A fairly even distribution, right? But we have some peaks here, 2 Chronicles, and we have another peak here. That's Isaiah. Isaiah has 20. Such instances. However, you may have noticed that I did not put in the information for the book of Psalms. That's because the minute I put the Psalms in this graph, the graph is blown out of proportion. Let me show that to you. Here we go. The book of Psalms has praise the Lord, or the word praise, 182 times. And the rest of it is way down here, and that's a linear graph. Now, this probably doesn't mean anything, but it's worth noting that in the book of Psalms, there are more instances of the word praise than the rest of the Bible combined by one. When you add it, it's 181 instances for the entire Bible other than the book of Psalms. And when you add the book of Psalms, it's 182. So there's actually one more instance in one book than the entire Bible by one. There's probably nothing significant to that, but I just thought it was kind of interesting. I like working with numbers and looking at that and going, that's kind of curious and interesting. So let's take a quick look at each praise collection, as they all offer something unique. Let's go to Psalm 146 first. Verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my soul. Let's stop there. That is a phenomenal, isn't that a phenomenal invitation to let every single part of you enter into praising God? Not just mind, heart, soul, body, spirit. Everything that makes you, you, is being invited to come in to God's presence and to praise God. Don't forget, praise means to praise with complete abandon. Not just to praise, but to praise with abandon. However that's expressed. And it can be expressed any number of ways. I like the way New Living Translation put it, let all that I am praise the Lord. Let all that I am, body, mind, soul, spirit, everything. In verse 2, it went up a little fast there, but let me just back up. Verse 2 says, New Living Translation says, I will sing praises to my God with my dying breath. It goes along with what David said in Psalm 63, is what you quoted this morning. David said basically the same thing, that he would praise God until his dying breath. In other words, praising God is a lifelong activity, right up until and through the very last moment that you have the ability to animate your body. Because essentially it's your spirit that animates your body. You're seeing my body, but what animates my body, what animates my mouth? It's my spirit in conjunction with my mind, my body. So verses 3 and 4, this tells us why we shouldn't praise anyone but God. Do not put your trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. And verse 10, when we praise God openly with a genuine heart, there is a generational blessing unto your children. The Lord reigns forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. When your kids see you praising God, they're going to see how important that is, and that will flow to them. They will pick it up. Sally and I, and many of you have children too, but Sally and I, whenever we were raising Noah, we always put God first. We always went to church every single Sunday. That was important to us. He saw that it was important to us. He's processing this. He didn't make Christ his Savior until he was a young toddler, probably 7 or 8 or 9, somewhere in there. But I still remember the day where we led him to Christ when he finally got it. And he said, yeah, I want to do that. And since then, he's been making that faith his own. That brings us great joy when we see him raising his hands in abandon when he's singing on Sunday morning. He's not doing that because we're doing that. Sometimes we're singing and he's there by himself raising his hands, eyes closed. That brings me joy. That's that generational, we're giving our faith to him. He's now taking the torch and carrying the torch. Let's go to Psalm 147, verse 4. We talked about this last week. He determines the number of stars and calls them each by name. Can anybody understand that? There are 20 septillion stars in the known universe. You saw that number when we posted it up here yesterday. Those of you that weren't here yesterday, it's like a 2 with zeros about this size that go right across the screen. You can't wrap your head around that number. And just to re-highlight, if you were to name each star, and you could name 1,000 per second, it would take you 2 trillion years to name every star. That causes me to praise. That causes me, it's like, wow. I can't do that. I can't even come close. If I named a handful of stars in maybe 3 or 4 minutes as I'm looking at, I'm doing pretty good. Well, God has a sense of humor. God has the best sense of humor. And sometimes he gives you that humor in very, very subtle ways. And we're going to find that in verse 5. Let's take a look at it. How great is our Lord? His power is absolute. Here we go. His understanding is beyond our comprehension. Think about that. No pun intended. Think about that. His understanding is beyond our comprehension. When I try to think about how much I can comprehend and how God thinks, I suddenly realize that there's no comparison. It's kind of like trying to wrap your head around 20 septillion stars. You can't do it. And so there's a little humor in there, and God is saying, try to compare your understanding with mine. Try to comprehend the way I understand. God says, my ways are not your ways. Not even close. But yet we draw closer to him every day as we search the scripture, as we develop in the love of the Lord, as we develop in grace, as we develop in love. We understand it more and more. But I'm convinced we have eternity so that we will continue to grow in grace and love and understanding. It's going to take us eternity to understand God's love. I'm glad we have eternity. Praise God. Ryan, last week, where's Ryan? Oh, last week you read one Psalm 147. It's the weatherman psalm because you talked about all of the weather elements in there. Psalm 147 mentioned clouds, rain, snow, frost, hail, cold, warm, thawing winds, and lightning. It forgot thunder. But maybe, I don't know why thunder wasn't mentioned, because lightning's there and you have thunder with lightning, but I just found it curious that there was no thunder mentioned in Psalm 147. Maybe in heaven there's no thunder. That would be cool, because a lot of people aren't fond of thunder. All right, Psalm 148. Let's go to verses 1 through 3. The praises in this psalm begin from the top of the physical world and go down. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord twice. When praise the Lord comes twice, you pay attention. From the heavens, praise him from the skies. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all of the armies of the heaven. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you twinkling stars. We talked last week how the stars, the sun, the moon, the stars, they pour forth speech, but yet they don't say a word. It's like that painting I showed you last week. When you look at it, oh, it speaks volumes. It doesn't use words to do it like we use, but you look at it and you think, wow. Amazing stuff. Verse 4. Comes a little closer to earth now. Praise him, skies above. Praise him, vapors, high above the clouds. So it talks about the clouds, but the vapors above the clouds, you know, that could be the rarefied earth, that could be the aurora borealis that they occasionally saw but we're coming closer to Earth. And so the progression is it starts way up, comes closer to us, and eventually comes to us. Now, verse 13 in Psalm 148 answers the question why we should feel compelled to praise God, as if we needed any further reason. But there's more reason given to us in verse 13. Let them all praise the name of the Lord, for his name is very great. His glory towers over the earth and the heaven. His name. God protects his name. And think about that for a moment. God's name is very important. And why is that? It's because it's the same reason why when people speak your name, you want them to think of good things. You want them to think of positive things, good thoughts. Essentially, you want your name tied with a good reputation, don't you? God is good. That's probably the understatement of the day. God is good. But the Bible says God is good. And as his ambassadors, it is up to us to make sure that we protect his reputation as being good and loving as his ambassadors. So his name is important for a reason, because we bear his name out there to everybody driving by 306, to Chesterland, to Northeast Ohio, and beyond. Psalm 149. We can get really creative when praising God. Well, how? Okay, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. Didn't we do that this morning? That was a new song. We said, well, actually, it's a couple of years old, but when you consider the fact that it was written, I think, in 2013 by Hezekiah Walker, who's a pastor down in Atlanta, Georgia. At 2012, that song didn't exist yet. It's a new song. And some of you that downloaded the song this week or maybe watched it on the website and listened to it, you're thinking, wow, this is really good. Sing to the Lord a new song. Will there be new songs that get written that are not yet written? Absolutely. Until the Lord returns, there are going to be plenty of other worship songs that come and get sung. Where should we do this? The part right after that in verse 1b tells us, sing his praises in the assembly of the faithful. Where are we? We're in the assembly of the faithful. We're in church. Sing these in church. Does that mean we should limit it to the church? No. No, but when we come together, one of the things that we should do is sing. Sing praises to the Lord. Well, should we dance? Should we use instruments? Absolutely. Verse 3, praise his name with dancing. There are some churches that prohibit dancing, but it's in the Bible. As David danced with abandon, and his wife was embarrassed by that and scolded David. And of course, the Lord was none too happy about that, because David was dancing. Why? He was dancing with abandon. It was an expression of praise, real praise. That kind of dancing is good. Do you remember the clip I showed you from Africa on Easter Sunday? You remember what you saw? I would call that dancing. They were jumping up and down, swinging their jacket, the men were. And why? They were expressing joy and praise because Christ had risen from the dead. You can express it any way you want. God is looking at the heart. Many ways to express praise. So we can accompany that by a tambourine and harp. Does that mean that if we don't have a tambourine and harp up here, we're not praising right? That's not the point. It's saying use whatever is available and whatever you use for your culture. Does that mean drums? Some places use drum sets. Some places use electric guitars. Some places use organs and pianos like we do. Or maybe videos. Videos that we show from other churches that have allowed us to partner with them. That's a tool. Use everything to praise the Lord. Here's another creative use of your time when you cannot sleep. Verse 5. Let the faithful rejoice that he honors them. Let them sing for joy as they're up eating breakfast. No. As they're up driving around. No. As they're walking from one office to the next. No. As they lie in there or on their beds. When you can't sleep at night, isn't it so easy to let your mind wander? And those idle thoughts can start leading to thoughts that wander far from God. What's better to do when you can't sleep? Maybe God is waking you up. Maybe he either wants you to praise him, to pray. Is somebody coming to mind? Use that time to think about the things of God. Sing praises. If nothing's coming to mind, sing a song to God while you're lying on your bed. And finally, we're going to come to Psalm 150. And Psalm 150, it's the last book of the psalm. It is the last psalm in the book, rather. I like calling this one the Don't Hold Back Psalm, because this is building up. The psalms have built up from the very first word in Psalm 1, blessed are those who do not walk in the ways of the wicked, and it goes on. We studied that when we first looked at the book of Psalms. Psalm 150, we're at the end, we're at the bookends, but this is the moment where the orchestra is coming up, and this is going to be the big finale. That's why I call it the Don't Hold Back Psalm, because the praise that we're talking about is, again, a reminder, the kind of praise that you just give it all up. Abandon yourself. So verse 1, where do we praise God? Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heaven. Okay, let's ask why. And that's verse 2. Praise him for his mighty works. Praise him for his unequaled greatness. Attached to, again, his name. Protect his name. So let's ask how. Okay, how should we praise the Lord? It is including, but not limited to, he's giving us some ideas. Praise him with a blast of the ram's horn. I don't think I've heard a ram's horn in church lately. But if you were around where there was a ram's horn, use it. Blast it. Praise him with a lyre and harp. Praise him with a tambourine and dancing. There's dancing again. Praise him with strings and flutes. We have strings. We have flutes. We have bands that use those things in praise bands. Praise him with the clash of the cymbals. Stop. That would have been great right up to that point. But the writer of the psalm goes, wait a minute, you don't get it. Praise him with loud clanging cymbals. In other words, whatever you do, do it with abandon. Give yourself. Just give it up. Give yourself and praise him with everything that you got. Use everything that you can find. Use it all and praise him. And finally, here is the orchestral crescendo of the whole thing. And it comes in verse 6. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Twice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Whenever you see it twice, look at it and try and figure out why. This is the truly a crescendo. Just think of the orchestra just coming up to that moment where everything is coming up. And you just want to get up on your feet and start shouting and just clapping at the end. And it's the crescendo. So in closing, I'd like to revisit the four benefits of entering into God's wonder. Remember, we talked about those four benefits yesterday? They are the very same benefits for entering into God's praise. Even when you initially may not feel like praising God for whatever reason. The benefits of praise. After you praise God, you will feel more hopeful. I've heard of people praising their God through pain. Howard Storm is a pastor who was once an atheist. He was a professor of art who essentially died in Paris. We did a story on him on Fox 8. Maybe I'll post it up on our website for those who've never seen it. It's phenomenal. It's amazing. In fact, I will make a notation and do that this week. Howard died as an atheist. He said goodbye to everybody. He thought he was going into oblivion, except that he was on his way to hell with demons all around him. And he was on his way deeper and deeper into an abyss. And I'll let him tell the story, but it will put your hairs in the back of your neck standing on end. There are things that he says he won't even talk about that were happening to him while he was going into that abyss. And then he remembered he was in Sunday school, and he remembered the song, "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, for the Bible Tells Me So." He started singing it, much to the irritation of the evil that was around him. And then Christ came and rescued him. He came back to life. Not only, obviously, did he become a Christian, but he became a pastor. He left his job, a very high-paying job, at a big university in Kentucky, to become a pastor and to lead people to Christ. And he said that during his recovery period, he was in so much pain. Nobody taught him how to do this. But he was in so much pain when he came back into his body, and they told him, "You're going back. It's not your time, but you are now redeemed. Go and do something with it." And so he became a pastor. But he was in so much pain at first, he began to do the first thing that he thought of. He started singing praises to God. Any song that he could think of, started singing praise to God. And he said within 5 or 10 minutes, the pain was gone. Healing. Healing through praising. The minute he stopped praising God, the pain would come back. So what did he do? He started praising God again. The pain went away. All kinds of stories like that. Happiness. And, of course, humility when you praise God, really realizing who God is. So with that in mind, and with the praise song that you just heard, that was written by Hezekiah Walker. Let us right now enter into praise with abandon. Lose yourself into praise. And let's all stand now, and we'll conclude with a blessing, but let's all stand and praise God, and let's revisit that song, Every Praise.